Brian had a dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And welcome to the quest for 10,000, your audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. In this episode, our preview review of a movie that's already come out and making lots of noise, Wonder Woman, the first good DC movie. Brian and I are going to find out if all of the hype is true. But before we get to that, Brian, tell us where you are on the quest.
It's 7,964.
All right. So Wonder Woman will be 65th, 66th.
It'll probably be, by the time I see it later on this weekend, it'll probably be 70.
Well, that strikes me as you being very close to moving to your hopes and dreams, Brian. And our hope and dream, listeners, is that you would join us in this conversation on Twitter at 10kmovies or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. That's T-E-N-K movies on both of those platforms. And now we move into the hope and dream that DC has when we talk about
previewing Wonder Woman. Because the goal and dream of DC has been to have a critical and commercial success on their hands that might let them compete a bit more with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so far, all the reviews I've seen, Brian, is that this is the hit they've been waiting for. Other movies like Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman have made money, but they've been a mess of a movie. Wonder Woman seems to be bucking that trend. What have you heard?
I have not heard a bad review. I mean, now because of Wonder Woman being the first female-oriented superhero in this modern telling of the superhero genre, and because of that, and because of the importance that has been placed on it culturally and socially, and the fact that it's a female director helming the project, the reviews, even the reviews amongst people that were maybe wading into political issues in their reviews, even those, I have not seen any that have not said it's not a good movie. Now, yeah. some of them have said it is even a better movie because of its cultural connotations. But even people that would be predisposed to kind of downplay that aspect of its importance have had to say this is a good movie.
Tell me, what else has Patty Jenkins, the director,
Monster
done that you've seen?
Monster with Charlize Theron. After that, I'm not sure that she has had. I'm gonna look real quick, but I'm not sure she's had a anything that we've really known. I mean, I think that was her breakthrough hit and her biggest hit. Yeah, that's it.
But experience with, you know, strong female lead.
And she did some work with the television show The Killing. So she did work, you know, she had done some television work, which, you know, 15 years ago, that would have been a mark on your resume. Now it can be a positive now, or much more fairly and equitably to work in movies.
I have just basically seen headlines, things like that. Oh, Wonder Woman's so good, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. That's all.
Because I wasn't able to see it pretty soon after the opening of the film, and any listeners we have, you may have already seen this, even as you're listening to this part of the podcast. I've stayed spoiler-free, which is really amazing for me. I usually don't do that with movies, but I really have tried to stay spoiler-free with this. Have you done the same?
Oh, yeah, and I'll say this. I probably, more than even spoiler-free, I am pretty much a Wonder Woman neophyte. Like, I don't know much of her rogues gallery or her history or what is going on. I mean, I know she's Amazonian. I know she's either immortal or she's lived a really long time. I know Steve Trevor's her boyfriend. After that, you know, the only things I really know are the kind of the campier aspects, you know, the Invisijet, the Lasso of Truth, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't really know the character much at all. This will be a new experience.
There's been some recent really good runs in the comic books, particularly when DC and the comic universe did what they called the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
The Wonder Woman run, the first, I don't know, year and a half, really strong, really well done, kind of really connected her to Greek mythology. And there's been some other story arcs and sequences that have been very well received. So I do think the time has been perfect for that. I think my hope and sense is that this movie really encapsulates the energy and fun part that Wonder Woman added to Batman v Superman, the only really kind of fun, exciting, kind of energetic part of that movie, really, and adds that stuff in a natural way, much more so maybe than Suicide Squad. You know, we both kind of talked about in our review of Suicide Squad, it was like they knew they had to be funnier, and so it felt a little bit more forced.
And, that movie was
But my sense is so far is that Wonder Woman's one that feels much more organically put together.
It feels like they filmed three different movies for Suicide Squad, and then they got in the editing room and they realized Harley Quinn works. So let's go with that, and let's just focus on that.
Right.
And then they threw out Leto's.
And there's a cut somewhere. There's a cut somewhere where it's more about Jared Leto and another cut.
Yeah, exactly. And you just know because he's complained about, but it's obvious that they didn't really have a cohesive idea for what that movie was going to be until they filmed it.
My other sense is, you know, we'll be talking about when we get to our review, is that it also seems to me, based very much on the short part in Batman v Superman, and then because we know there's been positive reviews, that Gal Gadot is the perfect fit for this role.
She
and that's
is.
Really the maybe the second time next to Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn that you've been able to say that for DC characters, and you've been able to say that for Marvel basically since the beginning, and so I think that'll be
when you hear
the movie stands out so well,
and when you hear more of Gadot's background, you know, she was in the Israeli army because she's Israeli, so she had to be in the army, and that's sort of, you know, that makes her kind of more, even more badass as Wonder Woman to know that she was, you know, out there doing this training and doing this. So you get the sense that, this is something that, and also for a lot of the reviews I have read seem to highlight the fact that we don't have, in the later 20th century, most of the 20th century, we've sort of romanticized and filmed World War II to death. Okay. But World War I has been kind of shit on because it's like, you know, we forget it, you know, it becomes a part of like period pieces that are much more about love affair than they are about the war. Mm-hmm. And there are not to say there are not a few good, like War Horse by Spielberg was a good, pretty good World War I movie, but you know, that this movie sort of brings us to that time and highlights that time, which is also sort of helpful.
In some ways, it sounds like that might be going in the same way that a lot of people went in to see a movie like Iron Man.
Yeah,
this is a superhero, but we don't know that much about who it is. So kind of cautiously optimistic. And then, you know, you kind of discover, even though Wonder Woman's much more A-list from
than
DC
Iron Man
perspective
was,
than Iron Man was at the time it came out.
That's what's so weird.
But that may be what's also helping this movie. So it'll be interesting to just, I think, to see how well you are able to get to the basics of who this character is.
Well, that's what's weird about Wonder Woman is the character has been around for 70 plus years, a major part of DC, which I read, I read Bosley Batman Superman, which I think is mostly what people who read DC read. And she had her own TV show, which was iconic and a big deal. And I'm more than familiar with the Wonder Woman iconography and all this kind of stuff, but I know and I don't think I'm alone. Like I know Wonder Woman, but I know nothing about Wonder Woman. Right. You know, right. And it's just weird that you could exist in that place where you're so like everybody knows it, but nobody really knows anything other than surface level stuff. And that's sort of an odd place to be 70 years into your run.
So let's make sure when we do our review portion, we talk about that a little bit more of. How long did it take for the movie for you really to know who this character is, what her motivations were, what she was about, how well did they pull that off?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
They probably do that pretty well, but let's make sure.
And I'm really excited about Chris Pine's work. I've heard he is fantastic in the movie.
Yeah, let's also maybe make a note. And I can't remember if I'm making this up or maybe saw one headline too many. That there's maybe also a bit of tragedy in the film.
I did see.
Any predictions? We've done this before.
I saw the same sort of thing.
Someone who lives, who dies.
See, I don't even know. See, usually when we do this, I know the characters' names and things enough to where I can make some at least semi-competent prediction. I don't know. I mean, Wonder Woman survives. I know that. I know that Robin Wright's character has been signed for a sequel. So I know. And to be honest, I wasn't even really aware Robin Wright was in the movie. I sort of may have known at some point. I mean, basically, all I really know is that Wonder Woman kicks ass. It's in World War One, and Chris Pine's her boyfriend.
So here's my expectation. I will be shocked if Chris Pine makes it through the film. But then I'm also excited that there's a lot of, just like Robin Wright, you mentioned, there's a lot of actors in here. Mm-hmm. I kind of like their performance. David Thewlis.
Yeah, I love him.
Remus Lupin from Harry Potter.
Love Remus.
Danny Houston, who is one of those actors who I kind of see and think, you know, he chews some scenery a little bit, but it's always entertaining when and how he does it. I think there's going to be a number of performances we come out with that maybe make as much of an impact as Gal Gadot. I definitely think she'll be the one we talk the most about. It'll be interesting to see who kind of comes in maybe right under her as impactful. Well, like we normally do, let's stop talking about it and let's go see it. The next time you hear our voices, Brian and I will have seen Wonder Woman and we'll be able to give you our thoughts. We are expecting we will add to the chorus of accolades and affirmations about the film. But maybe we'll share any nitpicks we have with it as well.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, everyone. Welcome back. Brian and I now in two different locations. Both saw Wonder Woman. Brian, what'd you think?
I think it's easily the best of the DC Extended Universe movies. I mean, I know we've only had, I guess we've had four now. I guess Man of Steel, Suicide Squad, and Batman vs. Superman. And it's easily the best of those four. And Man of Steel is probably my second of the three. And then Suicide Squad is going to be the worst for a while. And for DC's sake, I hope it stays the worst for a while. that's where we're at, is that it's raised the bar. It's made it a DC Extended Universe seem more feasible going forward to me than it was maybe a year ago.
I think that's right. I really like the movie. Very enjoyable, very entertaining. I think a lot of the problems that people levied at the others, a little clunky dialogue to weird pacing to darkness to maybe too much self-awareness or cheesiness or whatever, I think this movie still had some of those flaws. We'll get to that, but they were very small. They were very minor. Positives way outweighed the negatives.
Well, and of the casting so far of the superheroes in their universe, she seems like the most natural fit, and she seems like she, at least in the movies we've seen, maybe she carries herself like this all the time, but she carries herself like a superhero, like she's a believable superheroine. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to maybe Man of Steel, maybe Superman, he doesn't feel like Superman in some ways, you know? It's like, it feels a little forced. And Affleck, it feels like he's trying way too hard to be Batman. You know, this just feels natural for her.
One question we had going in was, how well was the movie going to be able to enter us into the world, who this character is, especially given how familiar we might be with the basics of who Wonder Woman is, but with the particulars and the details or motivations, all that sort of thing, I thought they nailed it from the very beginning. I mean,
I thought the first 30 minutes were really good.
And I want to just comment on, and this gets to the director, Patty Jenkins, the pacing of this movie. It really, there were a couple of parts where it probably lulled a little bit because it's a 2.5 hour movie. You can't avoid that in some ways. But I really did feel like the movie kind of flew by. It wasn't a slog by any means.
No, I didn't think so either.
She deserves a lot of credit for the pacing, the tone.
Well, in so many ways, it was two movies, or it did what it really accomplished the goals of two movies in one. It's an origin movie, and it was first solo adventure testing your feet movie. I mean, really, it's kind of two movies rolled into one, because there's two halves to this movie. And I thought it was just really well done. I really like the scene where they're about to stop the trench warfare, and she decides to go. She says, "No, we're doing it." I thought that was really cool.
The other performances, you know, Chris Pine, as we had alluded
Chris
to,
Chris Pine was also excellent.
Had already gotten fantastic reviews. He was phenomenal. Like,
he was
phenomenal in that film. Their chemistry was great. Spoiler alert, I ended up not being shocked at the end of the movie because he died.
It was
sufficiently, you know, tragic and emotional, and even though I kind of felt like that was coming going in, it felt satisfying. That arc felt satisfying.
I'm fine with that. You wonder if there's going to be some sort of a temptation, and I don't know. I don't think in the comic book that he has died. I think, or if he has, he's always still around somehow. You want this being a comic book hero world, and his performance being as well received as it is, will they find a way to bring him back in the inevitable sequel?
Right. Well, let's hold off on that for our last section when we talk about where do we go next with that. And maybe we can talk about any other acting performances that were highlights for you in the film before we get to some of the...
I loved Robin Wright. Robin Wright was fantastic. I'm saddened that her character apparently didn't make it out of the first 20 minutes of the movie. Again, my question the same way. This being a comic book hero movie, you see that with a grain of salt because she was so good. I love Connie Nielsen as Hippolyta. David Thewlis was great. He's really always good.
It's amazing. His screen time was
really short.
Maybe not as expansive as you'd think for the main villain of the film. But his motivations were explained really clearly. And again, I thought just because of the way the movie was set up, the pacing, everything of it, it worked. For me, anyways, it really.
Well, and I really love the like ragtag group of like super soldier renegades that are going off to help Trevor and Diana on this kind of a very Kirk-esque mission in a way. It does feel like when they took the Enterprise back at the end of Star Trek II or whatever, and he said, "We're taking it anyhow." It felt just like that. Yeah.
Two other things I want to mention, I think, that one, a little frivolous, but still really cool. The opening title cards, the new intro they now have.
I do like that.
That was pretty cool. I want to give a shout out to that.
Yeah.
The other thing, you know, what a lot of the reviews have talked about with this movie about, you know, does it strike a blow for feminism? How does it impact, you know, culturally, that sort of thing? Being two males, I don't know that we have much authority to say this is how it's going to be.
Even then,
I don't want to wade too much into that.
I want to say, A, it's a lot of pressure to put on a superhero movie, but B, those kind of questions can never be answered a week later or 2 weeks later. Like, we just won't know, and it's going to take time and perspective. And you know, is this? It's a really good movie. But at the end of the day, we don't know if it's just a blip on the radar or part of a trend. We can't know that now.
Right. And even so, I will say this. The thing I take away from the movie is that it really did it with an elegance and a grace, at least in that area. It would have been really easy to make that heavy-handed, be very self-aware about it. I think that the issues is explored about gender and those sorts of things. It did, in a way, to me anyways, that seemed very elegant, graceful, organic, and I really appreciated that.
When the movie waded into any sort of, you know, gender issue questions, when this movie did it in a way that I don't think people, if you're just watching the movie and you're not a dick, if you're just watching the movie, I don't think anybody went into it thinking the way they handled it within the film itself was controversial or rude or out of left field or inorganic or whatever. It was completely in it, and it was in so many ways it was important questions or whatever, but it wasn't done in any way that was belittling anyone or preaching to anyone. It was just, you know, kind of addressing those issues within a superhero movie, and they did a fine job with it.
One more thing. The action sequences, I thought, were really well done. Patty Jenkins used some of the Zack Snyder effect, what I call the Zack Snyder, that very slowing down of certain pieces of the action sequence, which I thought actually was one of the first times that really worked for me. I thought that was really well done. It got a little bit muddled with the big climactic battle to me, but overall I thought the action sequences were handled extremely well. You already mentioned the going into no man's land and that part. So I'll just add those sorts of things. What were any things, one or two, that maybe you didn't like about the movie, or you know, you would say this kind of, you know, might drag it down a little bit?
Well, you know, nothing overall that just sort of strikes me right away as being just horrible thing. We mentioned before, I don't know that I particularly cared for the framing device of Batman has sent her this picture. Like, you know, we have no motivation, no reason why. It's just, hey, I found a picture of you. So in essence, I know you're really old. I mean, that's what it's saying, right? I mean, I'm doing my detective work.
To me, that would have worked better if it hadn't been presented as this is happening after Batman v Superman, because he said, I found the original. Rather, if this had been framed as the email he sends in Batman v Superman, where he has the picture and he says, you know, who are you?
Yeah.
And then she flashes back, and then that uses the motivation she has then to find the battle.
Again, so this is my ignorance of the source material. I don't know how if that's her cover in the comic book that she works for the Louvre as like the curator of their antiquities department. But that seems like a real, very specific and odd sort of thing for her, especially when, you know, and we talked about this before we came on air again, is that this was the most international, intentionally international superhero movie. I mean, there was no scene set in the United States of America. All of them were in Europe or in her home country of Themyscira.
Well, and I'll add that I like David Thewlis. Although obviously he was a bit lampshaded, we mentioned in the preview section, you know, he's already listed on IMDb and that sort of thing as the villain. So that was a bit lampshaded. I think the other villains in the film, Danny Houston, I felt was kind of wasted, more of a red herring than anything else, mm-hmm. for the actual villain of David Thewlis, the Dr. Poison character.
Because apparently is a long-standing connection.
That was the crux. Yeah, that was the crux. You know, are you gonna kill this woman who helped kill Steve? You know what?
And she's a long-standing Wonder Woman villain. Apparently.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I got what they were doing there, but it just those villains seemed, well, not super. I mean, you had to have them to have a plot, but they seemed just very two-dimensional. There wasn't a whole lot of depth to him. So that was disappointing. That's
well, I don't know how many dimensions a character called Dr. Poison can have, but...
Right. Well, it just is a problem superhero movies have as a whole. And
villains have... Shared. It's so, very difficult to have a well-rounded villain in a superhero movie.
I think that's something to say. I think also I mentioned the lampshading of Ares. You know, the fact that, spoiler alert, Wonder Woman was the actual God Killer and not the sword. You know, anyone who's seen enough of these movies knew that the minute they said it, the minute they flashed to Connie Nielsen's face as, you know, being concerned that Diana was asking about the God Killer and who could we.
Well, and also like, the way that her aunt Antiope or whatever, Robin Wright's character.
Antiope by Robin
Wright. The way her character was insistent on training her, you knew there's much, you're not just made out of clay.
And we're not telling her the whole story. Like, okay, well, the whole story is that she, like, she's the God Killer. And then it was the last thing. I know what they were going for, this iconic image, this sort of thing.
So lame.
The end was just a movie that had not been particularly cheesy in a lot of its stuff. That just felt really they just didn't hit the mark I think they were looking for. However, that's sort of supposed to emphasize, okay, jumping into some sort of new future. So
yeah,
let's end this part of our podcast by talking about where do you think this can go, or well, where are you excited?
You know, the problem they have, okay, a couple of things is two of my favorite characters from the movie, Antiope and Steve Trevor, died. And so you wonder if they can, you know, this being comic books, and especially since her homeland, Themyscira, in the comic books at least, it's not moored to one particular place or time. Like, it can travel. It exists. It's kind of like the TARDIS, in essence. It can exist wherever it wants to. So, you know, presumably then she might could find it and find her character at some other point in history or something. Or she may have healed, for all we know, because she left not long after that. But Steve Trevor would be a little more harder. I don't think the comics have any history of him becoming a superhero. And if he does become a superhero of any kind, because if he gets resurrected, he's got to be somewhat, you know, that would diminish her as being, you know what I'm saying? If he became a superhero, too, I don't necessarily want to do that. You know, and the other thing is, too, like in the next movie, the next Wonder Woman movie, is it set after Batman vs. Superman, or is it set in this now 70-year gap of history where, I mean, because she hasn't just been sitting around. Like, you know, there's a lot of time, and especially, like, I know in the comic books, Steve's secretary, Etta Candy, becomes Diana's best friend. Well, if you flash right. forward 70 years later, you lose that character altogether. I mean, that character can't exist, you know, that far in the future. So why even bring her in for what amounted to a very short cameo if you're just going to throw it away?
Yeah, it feels like the possibilities and what excites me about it are multifaceted.
Here. Oh, yeah.
What can they do? You know, the Diana we meet in Batman, Superman, and even the one that seems to be referred to by the bookend narration framing devices is that at some point Wonder Woman lost her desire to be active, participating in the world as a hero. And you don't get that sense of the end of World War
One. No.
You know, so there's still some other story, more yeah. disillusionment to come.
There's something that broke her heart in between the two.
Yeah, so what is that? So that feels like a line to explore more.
Well, and you know, also, anytime you have a character that is immortal and stays young, as she clearly does, the temptation is there, and if it's done right, it's effective. But you want to have some sort of story, sort of what they've done with the Captain America movies, where he meets up with Peggy and he has that sense of like, your world is moving on while mine is staying static. But in this case, you know, she will have lived through all that time. But, you know, when, you know, 40 years later, when you see the person you love is now 40 years older, and, you know, that sort of like, sense of loss and that tragedy and that sort of realization that you really do exist by yourself. I think that can be really powerful. I don't know if that's what they want to go with. The other question is, you know, I have no idea what her rogues gallery, what Wonder Woman's rogues gallery is. I just don't know. But it feels like right off the bat to go with the God of War, feels like it's going to be tough to top that one.
That could be a law of diminishing returns, but for the return on this movie, I think we both give it two thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. It did
definitely meet the expectations we had kind of had going in, and we add our affirmation and accolades to it. So let us know what you think on Twitter at 10kmovies or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. Your thoughts and feelings on Wonder Woman, the good, the bad. There really wasn't much ugly. So just let us know your thoughts. And we will come back to you in another couple of weeks with another episode on this quest we are taking with Brian to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus. Borderline 11.